Good morning, good morning. How is everyone today? Excellent. So thank you all for coming out this morning. I know 8:30 can be early, and you know, we always like to say that people who come to the 8:30 sessions in them really want to see your talk. So I'm hoping you guys are really interested to come and hear me talk a little bit about Application Insights this morning. How many of you guys have heard of App Insights already? I'm assuming you're here because you have. Okay. You guys don't count. Sorry, we have some of my colleagues from the product team here, and I'm going to be pointing them out to you later so that if you have questions, you'll know who to go and ask. Excellent, good. So my name is Peter Provost. I am a group program manager in Application Insights. Before that, I was a GPM in Visual Studio Ultimate, where I worked on agile tooling and unit testing and things like that. You guys may have seen me up on these stages before babbling on about unit testing and fakes and things like that. You know, there's two common things in my history. One of them is a love of agile and development techniques and practices like that, but another one is a love of data. I think probably as the geeks that we are, we all kind of like data. And I've always been one of those guys who will happily export everything that I can into Excel so that I can start fiddling with it and playing with it. And so this jump into Application Insights for me was quite a natural one, because it allowed me to kind of get into this place and really get into the interesting data that we as developers can use, can care about, and can think about every single day. So let's dive right in here. So in the session this morning, you saw in the title, we're going to be doing kind of an overview of the Application Insights product suite. At the beginning, I'm going to kind of go through the general kind of background of the space and what our intentions are and what Application Insights is all about. And then I'm going to take you through Application Insights, the product as it is today, the most recent releases. In fact, the bits that I will be demoing were deployed a couple days ago. We deploy very, very frequently. And so we'll be seeing some fresh stuff. And as of this morning, everything was working great. Let's just hope it stays that way. Then I'll show you, I'll do some quick passes through showing you how to get started and how to start using it. And then we'll take a look at how you can use the data that we have from Application Insights to solve real-world problems and to really get you started into making your apps better, right? Because that's really what this is all about. And then at the end, I'll kind of close with, I've got some stories and some scenarios to share with you about real experiences, real customers, sometimes internal to Microsoft, sometimes outside, where the data and the telemetry has been so important to what they do, to kind of help you understand why this really matters to us. I suspect since so many of you raised your hands, you already have a sense of why, but sometimes it can be good to see how other people are leveraging tool sets, either ours or like ours, to change the way they think about their application development. So Gartner, in an early report they put out this year, said that within 3 years, 94.5% of downloads are going to be for free apps. That's a huge number of apps that are out there that people are downloading. And you know, they're not paying for that initial hit. They're just downloading that app and using it. So there have to be other ways then for us to monetize that. And so as we start to think about the different financial models and the different models that are occurring in the mobile space, right, having data about how the users are using it, and also understanding how we can retain them, how we can keep them engaged with our app, keep them using our app every single day is going to be important. But then there's this counterpoint. Less than 0.01% of consumer mobile apps will be considered a success. I mean, you remember back when Agile was new and I was coming up on these stages and talking about how 80% of IT projects fail. Wow, this is a lot worse, right, compared to then. I mean, now we're talking about 0.01% are going to be successful. And I think partly that's due to just the sheer volume of apps that are going to be occurring, right? The number of apps that are happening is exploding beyond any of our wildest dreams 10 years ago. But also the models are changing. And what it takes to engage with customers and to retain those customers, to keep them coming back, to keep them engaged with your app is changing. Because ultimately, these days, building successful apps is hard. It might even be harder than it used to be. With so many apps out there, the turnover rate of apps, the development cycles shorter than they've ever been. Right, the competition that's out there today is fiercer than probably we've ever seen. If you were to go and try to put out a mobile app or a web app or any of these new kinds of things, you're going to find there are, before you even land with your great brand new idea that nobody else has ever thought of, there's already 10 guys there who already thought of it. And so that means trying to figure out how to retain those customers, how to keep them in your app. We don't want them going to the other guys. Keep them in our space. Right, it's hard. And so we're going to have to be constantly evolving and improving our app, whatever it might be. I mentioned that we deploy all the time. I mean, literally every week, sometimes multiple times. Visual Studio Online is the same. More and more of Microsoft's apps are deploying with that regularity, that rhythm. And everybody's apps are going to be very soon going to these kinds of very, very rapid rates. And it's partly because we're having to respond to the competition and to make sure that our app is constantly improving in order to get people coming back. And so the app is evolving. We're continuously delivering them. You know, Microsoft, Facebook, GitHub, just keep going down the road, are constantly delivering their apps. I saw a post up on the GitHub blog saying that sometimes they deploy hundreds of times a day, thousands of times a day. Right, that's a completely different model than we're used to if you've been in the business for as long as I have, certainly. And of course, we can't just be willy-nilly about how we make decisions about what to do in our app, what things to fix, what features to add. You know, it used to be with our wonderful big 2-year-long cycles, and you had lots of time to think about it and invite customers like you to come out and talk to us and have SDRs and get surveys and feedback, and we could do all those wonderful things and take the time, take 3, 4, 5, 6 months to think about what we want to do because, well, we're not going to ship it for 2 more years, so we've got time. Well, if I'm going to ship it next week, I kind of have to decide right now. So I have to have the data constantly coming into me, constantly made available, right? Constantly helping me understand what's important, what's not, what are my customers using, what are they not, where are they succeeding, where are they failing, where am I getting them to buy, where am I failing to get them to buy? That constant data-driven decision-making is extremely important in this modern age. I'm sure you guys have probably seen us present the ALM cycle, right? Which kind of is a set of cycles, right? We go from requirements backlog down into development and around into release and production with collaboration going across. That's kind of the DevOps connection back up through the top. Now, in this rapid cycling world that we have today, we have to now start to think about where are there places on here where we can, where data is really needed and really important for us to be successful? And there are, in fact, quite a few. Right? So, of course, you know, in the DevOps world, we've got the tools and processes stuff helping out here in the collaboration. We've got all the various things that VSO offers and Visual Studio and a whole host of other tools. But as we look around that right side, right, there's a number of things that we know we're going to have to be able to do. We have to be able to detect and triage application issues as we're going into production, sometimes before we're going into production. You know, testing prior to production is very important, and please don't think I'm advocating otherwise. In fact, I would really encourage you to go to Brian Randall's talk at 10:30, where he's going to talk all about load testing of web apps. Because this stuff is extremely important. Make sure you're good and ready to go out. But even after you go out, there are still going to be issues, right? Because I'm sure there's only one of you in this room who ships bug-free software. Who is it? Anybody want to make that claim? Bug-free software? Marav ships bug-free software. Okay. All right, so you know, we've got to be ready to detect those, and we've got to be able to detect them from the minute of that first deployment. And of course, when incidents occur, when we have issues, when things are happening, we need to have actionable telemetry, actionable data and insights into what's going on so that we can immediately turn that back around, get right back into the code, identify the problem, find it, solve it, and get to bringing a fix forward. And then using that, as well as using understanding about how our customers are consuming our app, where they're coming in, where they're falling off, where they are in the funnel, these things are also going to be equally important as we start to make decisions about our backlog, decisions about what features to do next, in what order, and how to prioritize that work. We have to drive that from data. We have to drive that from actual data coming from users, not speculation, not guesswork. Otherwise, we're going to really be in a we're going to really struggle to compete. That was interesting. Okay. So as we look at what Application Insights is, so over here on the left-hand side, I kind of show the structure of a modern app. In other words, there's a lot of moving parts these days. And we need to be able to collect telemetry all up and down that stack. We need to be able to have the data necessary for decision-making from the user all the way to the back end, because when something goes wrong, you're not necessarily sure where it is. It's almost always going to have an impact at the top, affect your user, cause those problems in your business model, sales model, adoption rates. But where does it really occur? It might occur way down. Let me see. There's a laser pointer thingy. All right. We don't know perhaps if it's occurring down here, way down here in our databases, or perhaps it really is up here in the UI. So with Application Insights, we collect telemetry up all up and down this stack. And that telemetry then slides, comes on over to our back-end services, where we do extensive processing, metrics analysis, mathematical and numerical analysis, indexing, and making it available for search and sorting. We process that all up, we store it, and then we expose that out through the Application Insights portal, where we give you a 360-degree view of your entire application, covering all three of these main areas of performance, usage, availability, errors, et cetera. So let's go ahead and jump in, take this a little bit further, and go ahead and dig in a little bit more into Application Insights itself. Anybody know who Arthur Nielsen is? So in the United States, for probably the last 40 years, television shows have made their decisions about when to move a show to another day or into another time or whether even to cut the show, based on a thing called the Nielsen ratings. And the Nielsen ratings was a telemetry system, a data collection and market analysis telemetry system created by Arthur Nielsen. And it was just amazingly influential in both radio and television in North America. And here, you know, he's saying that the price of light is less than the cost of darkness. And essentially, he's acknowledging that it's going to cost you. It always is going to cost you in infrastructure, time, perhaps in tooling, whatever you might want to do, in order to have information, have accurate, useful, actionable intelligence. But basically what he's telling us is that's still cheaper than not having it. Because without it, you're going to be flailing in the dark. You're going to be making investments that are undirected or misdirected. You're going to be responding to things that aren't problems, right? You'll take this TV show and move it to Friday because you think it's terrible, but in fact it's the most popular show, but you don't have any data. You don't like it, so cut it. But everybody else likes it, and that's more important. So the price of light is less than the cost of darkness. So Application Insights then is about taking this concept and saying, we want to enable everybody to efficiently build better applications. That's what we do in developer division. That's what Visual Studio and Visual Studio Online are all about, is about helping people build better applications. And we take a very developer-oriented focus to everything that we do. We strive to make Application Insights a zero-effort experience. That's, of course, nothing is absolutely zero effort, but that's our goal. That's where we see as the North Star for where we're aiming. It should be almost effortless to get this kind of telemetry from your app. It's something that should be just an inherent part of application development with the Microsoft tool set. So having that data then, if we can get it in there and make it always on, always available, always there, then we want to make sure that the development team is constantly being provided with this 360-degree view. And you may have heard us occasionally talk about a find, fix, release, and there's also the build, measure, learn. These are all various forms of the same idea. Basically, right? Identify, fix, redeploy, or ship it, listen, learn, etc. And ultimately, all of these things are going to be about the telemetry that you get from your application. And the Application Insights experiences are also designed around understanding these massive volumes of data And so there's going to be lots of dimensions, lots of crisscrossing correlation points that have to be made. And so we have a large number of back-end processes and services that are doing stream processing and metrics analysis and machine intelligence, all of these things that are processing this data to help make sure that you have an easy path for exploration. So we talk about this 360-degree view, and here's my little app chart again on the left-hand side. All right, we kind of have our app and our platform and our infrastructure. And we have five kind of main ways that that we can start to collect telemetry for you using Application Insights. So at the top, I have outside-in monitoring. These are effectively ping tests or web tests that sit outside in the world, almost acting as if they were a user, pinging your app from various points of presence around the world globally and giving you back information about the app's availability. Is it there? And this is particularly valuable for web apps, right? Or the services that sit behind mobile apps. And just ensuring that it's there, outside in. The next tier is kind of this observed user behavior. So watching how the user's interacting with the app, the flows that they're taking through the app. What are they clicking on? What are they not? What paths do they choose? Where do they tend to fall out of the funnel? And where do we regularly see them getting through? All right, collecting that information about how the user is going to be very important for understanding how users are adopting and engaging with your app. The next one down are traces and events, right? So we've all, what I call printf-style debugging, right? We've been doing that since the first program we ever wrote, right? Some of us as kids, you write your first program and it doesn't do what you expect, so the very next thing you do is you put a print statement in it. Well, the fact is, this is still how we do a lot of debugging. And when your app is spread around, and it might be on mobile devices, it might be scattered across the cloud elsewhere, we still do similar things. We call it something else now, right? Right? We call it logging, we call it tracing, we call it event source and all these other things. Well, we need to make sure that when we push that kind of information as developers out of the code, active state information about the program, that information is also being submitted back into Application Insights to be correlated and made available so that we can use that to understand potentially user behavior, but also to understand the specific state of things, when some of those behaviors were occurring, or perhaps when failures were occurring, when performance problems were occurring. Get that information back and include it in the same processing system. Right. Now, observed application behavior, similar to observed user behavior, but instead, really what we're looking at here is almost an outside-in agent kind of an approach, a process or another body of code like that sits with your app. And again, it could be with your app on a device, but more likely it's going to be an agent running on a server that's monitoring a set of systems. And it's observing and watching that app very close, very nearby, for the application's behavior. So it can watch for things like exceptions, out-of-memory situations, disk situations. It can watch for all kinds of things that are much more local to the environment, but are about the application's health itself. And of course, finally, infrastructure performance, right? We all, if you've seen Brian Randall talk about any of his ALM stuff, one of the things he always loves to drop back to is performance counters. I was sitting with him in the speaker room yesterday evening, and some program got stuck. It all happens to all of us, right? A program gets stuck and you can't figure out what's going on. Well, what do? I bring up Task Manager and I kill it. But Brian brings up the performance monitor and wants to start looking at the perf counters, and he's trying to figure out what's going on. I'm like, man, you're crazy. He goes, no, man, all the answers are there. All right, so we should be collecting that information as well, bringing that stuff back into Application Insights, because clearly the correlation of this data back into our performance problems is going to be important. Now, we tend to look at three main scenario families of Application Insights. We start with kind of the identify and triage. You need to know when something happens. You need to be told about it very quickly. You need to be given enough information when it occurs for you to make an educated decision about whether to proceed. Should we even continue? And so we've got to have systems that are about giving you quick, easy to understand overviews, alerting mechanisms, with enough detail and information to make important decisions. And then from there, you move into that diagnose and solve phase, right? There's now, I really do think there's something real here. I really do need to get into it. I need to get all of the details that I can get. I need to pull those performance counters, pull those logs, pull those developer-emitted trace statements, bring all that stuff together, go through it all, and get a nice view of it all so that I can understand what's wrong and get right into the code, make that fix, and probably redeploy this afternoon and get that out quickly. And then use all of that combined now with the usage telemetry to learn and improve. So this is just a different view. So I've given you a number of different views of kind of how we think about application insights. And let me go ahead and switch over here. And we will actually go through application insights on the Azure Preview Portal. So how many of you guys, a number of you raised your hands and said you've used, or you're familiar roughly with application insights. Have you used it on the visualstudio.com portal? Is that where? How many? Okay. And how many are used to using it here? Or perhaps have seen it here? Okay, so perhaps you've heard about it, but you haven't spent much time looking at it yet. So let's go ahead and take a quick pass through here. We're going to be back in here again, and we're going to be looking at this in some more detail. So forgive me if I'm going to go quickly through kind of the whole thing, and then we'll come back and look at some of the more specific parts. So here I am in the new Azure Preview Portal. There have been some other sessions here at the conference about this, and you'll probably be seeing more and more of it. And let me try to zoom this a bit. Is that better? I think so. OK, so I already have an application running. It's running up on a hosted VM in Azure. And I've already connected Application Insights to it. So we're going to start from that situation. And in just a minute, you'll see me go ahead and set one up from scratch. And let's jump in and take a look at, if I go and look at Fabricam Prod, what do I get to see about this app in Application Insights? So this is called a blade in the Azure Preview Portal. And the blade is broken down into a series of lenses. This first lens is the application health lens. Let's see, it says it there at the top. Let me make that a little smaller. Cool. And as you can see, what we're trying to do here is at the very top of this blade, right where you first look, try to give you enough information. This is for a web app, and you can see it says it up here in ASP.NET application. For a web app, what are the things that I need to know very quickly and keep an eye on? I need to know the processing time, the response times. I need to know the request counts, how many requests are coming in and out. And I want to be able to see failed requests. Now, we've stacked these three things together and have them share a common x-axis across the bottom, which gives us an opportunity for some correlation. I can slide my mouse in here. And as you see, I can watch those numbers on the right-hand side are changing. And so I might find line my lineup right here where the server response time went to the slowest, 509 milliseconds. And I can look and see some interesting things. The number of requests went down, which is interesting. But the client processing time went way up. And the server processing time went way up. So something strange was going on there. So I'm clearly going to need to go drill into that. But I wasn't getting failed requests. It had just slowed down. Now, I might go and look at a different point, like, say, over here, where things are nice and speedy, and I can see that my requests are up, my server response time is down, my client processing time is kind of in its average point. And I can look around and compare and correlate these things and start to see what's happening across them. We'll come back and drill into that in just a moment. The other section that we care about here for web apps, which is very important, I mentioned the outside-in availability monitoring that we have. And that's what this chart here is showing me. It's giving me these web tests are running from all over the world and pinging in at this web app. And I get to see them over time and see what their response time is. And you can see we had a couple of scattered slow ones back here. There's an interesting one. Very slow. Even slower. And you can see there's a couple of red ones down here at the bottom. And there's some red ones over here, too. We'll have to take a look at those. I'm going to refresh the data here real quick. And so we can see there's been clearly some strange things going on. So we're going to want to go and take a look at those in just a moment. So that was our kind of overall view of the application's health. Now, as we continue further down this blade, we start to get additional drill-in through those scenarios that we talked about just a minute ago. So here we get into the diagnostics, and you can see I'm getting on us again with this paired timeline approach. We have our exceptions that are occurring on the server, and once again, I can come and look at this stack here and see what's going on. So we had 9 exceptions right there. Right, we had a number of issues going on in SQL, and we had 13 failed requests. This is clearly an important point in time for the health of our app. Something strange was going on slightly before midnight last night. The other thing we can see as we look here is we can start to see our failed requests. So is it particular URLs that are failing more often than others? And we can see that it is, in fact. This Get Reports employees is at 53, whereas the next one below it is 10. I mean, half an order of magnitude. Pretty significant difference. We also can see that when we are getting exceptions, we're almost always getting HTTP exceptions. And we'll come back to that search one here in just a moment. And the next lens section here, then, is the performance one. We start to see the actual response times of things, and we are getting dependent information as well. So you can see I'm able to see my SQL response times, right, and my how many requests are going on. And then as we get to the bottom here, we're starting now to look at the usage data. So this is now looking back over the last 30 days of usage data. We can see how many sessions, how many different users, how many page views. And again, I can go and look in here and start to correlate these things and see what's happening between them, right? My session count went way up here, and my user count went up with it. So clearly, I was getting an increased adoption traffic. But over here, our page view count went way up. And actually, our session count and user counts were staying about the same. So that means we were perhaps getting additional retention during that time period. They were staying. They were looking at additional pages. They were exploring around a little bit, not just hitting and leaving. So we had a much reduced bounce. We can see our page views are listed down here. And then we've got a couple things down here at the bottom about kind of the operations and alert mechanisms, and I'll come back to those in just a moment. Now, I want to just quickly show you a couple things about as we can kind of drill into this, and I'm just going to quickly click in and show you that all of these charts and graphs are, of course, you can click in and drill in and explore, and we'll come back and talk about this a little bit more further on. And as I click into one kind of data, I start to get more of the relevant contextual data that's cross-referenced and linked against it. So you can start to see additional as I continue to drill through. And you are occasionally going to find these, because Application Insights is still in preview. We're still actively developing it. And so you're going to occasionally be clicking around and clicking down through, and you're going to get to something like this that says coming soon. And I did this intentionally because I wanted you to know that this is not a bug. We know about this. But we are constantly deploying and developing and bringing new capabilities online. So keep exploring, and these things will continue to go away. And we'll be bringing more and more of these capabilities online. Okay, let me jump back over to that one. Okay. So one of the things that I stressed early on was that for us, enabling an easy acquisition and onboarding experience, making this an inherent part of development using the Microsoft tool sets was of paramount importance. We know that this just has to be something that you can just do without any significant effort. And developers these days, I mean, more and more people are learning and agreeing that they need telemetry. But they don't know how to get around. They don't know how to do it. It's hard. Or there's no time for it. What's my net benefit, right? Why this isn't, I don't care about this. Or it's got to be, make it somebody else's problem. This is, it's just for the marketing team is one of my favorite ones we hear sometimes. Why would I do that? It's just for the marketing team. They can do it. Or once you put this stuff in, it's hard to change, and then it slows my development down. My velocity goes down. Everything gets slower, and I don't want that. Or, you know, I don't want to be in the report creating business. So the whole point of Application Insights then is that, you know, we want to make it easy to add, easy to use, part of the development process, and about the developer. So what I wanted to go through here with you, and we'll spend some time here in the product, is kind of how you can get started using Application Insights today for your ASP.NET apps. And I'm starting with ASP.NET apps, and I'll give you a little bit more as we go further on down the line about options and timelines for other app types. Now, we have two ways for ASP.NET apps today for you to get started. If you're using Visual Studio 2013 and you are up to date with Update 3, when you do File New and create a new project, there's a checkbox right there in the File New dialog. You check it. You say OK. And assuming your Azure credentials are connected up to your Visual Studio account, the checkbox will already be checked. You won't have to do anything special. You'll get Application Insights built right in. Under certain circumstances, if your credentials have expired, you may have to log in if you check the box and various things like that. But most people these days are running with some form of an MSDN subscription, and you probably don't even realize that you, as part of your MSDN subscription, have free Azure time. and have an Azure subscription built right in with your MSDN. So get in there and turn it on and use it, and you can start to take advantage of Application Insights right now. Now, if you have an existing web application, adding App Insights to your system is as easy as right-clicking on the project and saying, add Application Insights. And we'll do everything else for you. You still may have to log in to authenticate, because we're going to have to create the Application Insights resource where all of the data is going to reside and create all those things and get the tokens and the keys. But we try to make all of that transparent so you don't have to worry about it. Now, for web apps, of course, typically people will want to put data collection, telemetry collection in the client side, in the browser, in the JavaScript part of things. And so if you do the existing app, the thing we sometimes call brownfield, right, the right click on Solution Explorer and add, you have to bring that JavaScript snippet in yourself. And the only reason for that is we were very reluctant to mess around with people's web apps after they've started developing them for a while. And you know, messing around inside the syntax of HTML and JavaScript, it's a very loose syntax. And so sticking snippets and things into people's code seemed a little scary, and we had some feedback from a lot of customers that they really would rather we didn't, and that instead they'd rather we just kind of showed them where the snippet was and let them put it in the way they want to do it. So fine, that's what you have to do today. Having done those steps, all you've got to do is push F5, and the data will start to arrive in the portal. Of course, deploying it works just fine too, and I'll show you both of those. Now, if you want to start to get that dependency information, and remember on some of those charts I was showing you that this web request took this much time and it had this much client component and this much SQL component, all right, and we're going to be building in more and more and more of those dependent data collections, you actually need to install that agent that I talked about earlier, the agent that sits and runs on your box and observes the IIS processes from the outside. We call that the status monitor, and I'll show you what that looks like and where you can get it. And that will start to collect then the system perf counters and all those other dependencies. And then if you want to start having that outside-in monitoring, that global point of presence monitoring from the outside poking in, you can go ahead and add web tests. And you can create them as ping tests, which are just simple, give it the URL and say go, and you don't have to do any web test authoring at all. Or if you would like, you can use Visual Studio Ultimate to author very prescriptive web tests that do very specific things in the app, and you can push those up. There are some limitations on what web tests are allowed to do in this kind of globally hosted way. For example, they can't have loops. They have to end within a certain amount of time. They can't run very, very long. Because of course, you know, we're hosting these out on these environments that we have all over the world, and you know, people could put, you know, effectively a load test up there, and that would be a little bit of a different intention than what we intend for today. So now, if you have an app that's already deployed, so that first bit was kind of, I'm starting from Visual Studio, I have the code, I have access to the code, I don't mind redeploying. But we've found that there are a number of situations where the customer, in fact, isn't really interested in deploying. They just want to start getting the data. They're like, I don't want to touch it, it works, leave it alone. Or maybe I've even found customers who say, we don't really know how to deploy it anymore. That's a little scary. It happens, though. How many of you have seen that? Well, what you can do is you can install the status monitor that I mentioned up above right on that server. It will automatically crawl and inspect the IIS instance, find those web apps, and start to inspect them and observe them transparently to the app, no redeploy required. And you can start to get a fair amount of data that way. Now, if you really want all of it, if you want everything, that you saw in that blade I showed you just a minute ago that was, you know, full of charts top to bottom, you really do need to do the web tests and the status monitor and the add the code to your app redeploy, which is the Visual Studio step. That will get you everything. It'll get you access to all of the usage telemetry. It'll get you all of that request response, error, failure, all that great stuff. And it'll also start to give you that outside-in observation monitoring. So that's what you have to do to get all of it. But if you only want to do a couple of them, that can be very useful right from the beginning. We have a number of customers who start by doing nothing more than creating web tests and putting them out there. And immediately they're starting to get useful and actionable telemetry about the health of their app by just putting a ping test up and knowing that their app is working. So let's go take a look at some of that stuff. Okay. All right, so what I'm going to do here is I'm going to just create a new ASP.NET web application. And just for fun, I'm not going to check the application insights box. But you can see over here on the right-hand side, this is the box I was talking about before. If I have this box checked, I won't have to do anything. But I wanted to show you the second step, because since you don't have to do anything, there really isn't anything for me to show. So we'll skip that part. All right, so I'll go ahead and create an ASP.NET MVC app. I'm not going to bother saying I'll host it at this point. Let everything run a little bit faster. All right, so here's our web app. Came up nice and fast. Now, for us to add application insights, I'm going to right-click on the web application. Know what that is? Don't know. No, don't show me that message anymore. And I say add application insights telemetry. I've already logged into Visual Studio or into Azure through Visual Studio, so it knows who I am. If I had not, I would be getting a login button there, and you would just log into your Azure MSDN credential system. It's going to create it into a new Application Insights resource. This is kind of the bucket of places into which I could send data. When you go to the Azure portal and you browse, there will be you can have a whole bunch of different, basically, endpoints. Let me just quickly show you what I mean by that. If we jump back over here and I hit my browse, Application Insights, there are lots, and I can have as many of these as I want. So one of the things that I could choose to do back over here in Visual Studio is I could say, put it in one of these others, because perhaps I think of this app as being a logical part of this other thing, and so I want all of the data aggregated together. But in this case, I'm just going to go ahead and say, make me a new one. And I'm not going to change anything else. I'm going to say go. So at this point, it reaches out to NuGet, pulls down our SDKs, which are just NuGet packages, pulls them down, puts them into your app, does a little bit of configuration, reaches back out to Application Insights, gets the instrumentation key, right? Because there's effectively a very long GUID that represents your app in App Insights, and that has to be put into the configuration file that drives the Application Insights SDK, pulls that back, writes that at configuration file, puts that into your project, and fires you up. So if we take a look now at what we have here in our references, you can see we've picked up a couple of Application Insights DLLs here. We also see that an Application Insights config file has arrived that is got our key and a bunch of other things in it. You'll almost never have to mess around in here. So I'm not even going to bother spending very much time looking at it. I'm going to go ahead and build my app and F5. So I haven't deployed it. I'm just running it locally. So the Visual Studio little app server is coming up here. And, of course, I can click around the app, take a look, see what's going on. This is the stock ASP.NET MVC app. Now, let's go back over. I'm going to leave it running, and let's go back over and look at Visual Studio. So you'll notice this Application Insights toolbar here has appeared, and it says 14. It's telling me that 14 events have been sent to Application Insights right from my F5 instance. And if you look down here in the output window, it's actually telling me exactly what was sent. It's showing me the JSON of the data blob that was sent off to our endpoint. Something about the version and what happened and what time it was and what the event was, all that other good stuff. So that's pretty cool. It's all up there. Well, let's go take a look and see if we can see it. I have to switch over to... I use multiple directories, which are basically, you know, Active Directory containers of information. So I just had to quickly switch over to my other one, which is where that one went. Let's take a look. Web application 2, and there it is. I think that's the right one. I think I'm in the wrong one. I probably should have given it a better name, huh? look here again. I think I wasn't paying close enough attention to what it was called. Did anybody notice? You guys are always really good at helping me debug my problems. Let's go look in the config. We'll just find it here. Ah, hold on. I forgot to show you something. I'm going to run the app again. I just lost myself there for a second. So I can just click. And look at that. It's just going to take me there. Probably should have remembered that the first time. When in doubt, click. Now, the only reason I switched browsers and went back and forth between those two is you'll notice this is my Chrome running in incognito mode. It's one of the interesting challenges we face working at Microsoft sometimes is that, you know, I have my Live ID and I have my Microsoft ID and I have two or three others I use for testing, and you forget which one you've got active at any one time, and the browsers crash the credentials. So when I come to demo stuff for you guys, I run everything in incognito mode so it doesn't remember anything. So just copied it over to here. So once this guy finishes logging in, it should take me straight there and I don't have to remember how to find it. And of course, again, that's about this seamless integrated experience. You shouldn't even have to think about it. We said there were 14 events. Click, we show you the 14 events. Assuming it comes up. It does say preview. Well, maybe it doesn't yet. I'm going to give it 10 more seconds. That's a bit disappointing. One more time. How many of you folks have to do demos as part of your job? Come on, let's see the hands. Everybody be honest. Okay, so you feel for me. Do any of you use two-factor authentication? That's all. Seriously, could we find another step to make this slower? Oh, the number changed. You know these things when the number changes on you? It did it right as I was typing. All right, that's enough. It goes there. Trust me. I have no idea what's going on. I'm going to leave it running over here, and when it finally does go there, I can switch back over to that monitor. Because I can see it's pulling stuff in the background down here, and it might be the network. I have no idea. Not going to worry about it. We'll come back over here. But anyway, wait. You F5 your app. You get to see that telemetry. You can see it in the output window. You can see what's happening. You know that it's sending data. And you can just click that toolbar button and go straight into the portal and see it happening. And one of the cool things is that the round trip time, the latency for that experience, is basically as fast as you can get there. So by the time you F5 your app and click around the app and then go over to the portal, you will see the telemetry. It will have started to arrive. You'll see those charts. You'll see that data starting to fill in. We call it near real time. If I called it real time, I would be lying, but it's close. Close to real time, starting to get some of that data coming in very, very, very quickly. Okay, let's continue on through here then. So we talked a little bit about, we went through kind of the overview, but let's get into now a little bit more about actually solving problems, using this data to give us to give us actionability, to get us, let us roll right into to accomplishing, fixing things and dealing with problems in our app. So, you know, the alchemists, a couple hundred years ago, right, one of the things they set out to do was a transmutation of base metals into gold. It was one of their big things, that one and, you know, the alchemist's stone, which was supposed to keep you alive forever. But, you know, the transmutation of base metals into gold, right? They really wanted to figure that out, and they were very convinced that they could figure out. They thought this was a tractable problem because of the way their theories of metallurgy and physical world worked. What's really interesting is that even though that was clearly a folly mission, right? They were not going to achieve that. Along the way, as a result of performing all of the experiments and all of the things they did in their attempts, they made significant advances in metallurgy, in medicine, because as a result of their explorations into chemistry and understanding how many of these metals and elements worked, and in fact, it became the foundations of modern chemistry and of the scientific method, because they were doing constantly reproducible experiments where they would slightly change one variable, just like we do in the scientific method these days. And it was really became all about data and experimentation, right? Data and experimentation and using that stuff over. So we can uncover a lot of extra stuff as we drill through. So again, returning back to these same three points that we made before. So Application Insights is going to focus on these three high-level areas of identifying and triaging, diagnosing, solve, learn, and improve. Now, when we talk about identify and triage, you may occasionally hear us think about this in terms of mean time to detect. We want to reduce the mean time to detect. So we have our 8 global points of presence. We have those ping tests. We have thresholds that we can set up for alerts, and I'll show you those in a second. And then you can have those alerts come in via email or SMS. When you get into diagnosing and solving, right, we're looking at identifying issues with request rates and dependencies and response times. We do the multidimensional analysis and then drill through. We'll look at those in just a second. And then on learning and improving, understanding key adoption trends, prioritizing investments, and then correlating that usage. So in reducing the mean time to detect, right, this is really all about learning about your issues before your customers complain. That's really what we want to do. We want to allow to... You don't want to be the last one to find about the problem going on in your app. You'd like to be the first one. And so having automatic alerting mechanisms, having thresholds that you can set to tell you when there are problems and to point out the issues that are going on inside of your app, giving you clear visibility and overview into what's happening is essential. When we get into mean time to resolve, we're really now talking about using the information that we've collected to get down into the root cause of these production issues and quickly resolving code problems detected. So we have to have actionable production diagnostics. We have to know, is the problem in your code or in the dependencies? And this is why it's so important that we have these agents that can sit and observe those dependent behaviors so we can start to detect and understand, well, is it my code that's slow? Is it SQL that's slow? Is the machine running out of memory? What's going on? Looking at the perf counters and all those other bits of data. And of course, there's lots of communication issues between dev and ops and dropping that mean time to repair down. And of course, there's a classic problem today of not having the necessary information to prioritize your future investments. Where should we make the changes to our app? Where are we losing our customers? Where are we not getting them coming in where we would expect? I think this app came up finally. So I'm going to switch this back over here, and I'll combine a couple things here together, and we'll do 2 or 3 things at once instead of what I'd originally planned. Because I did leave it running. So you can see the app is still running back here. Visual Studio is still debugging. And you can see we're starting to get some data in. What do we have? We do have response times. So let's take a look at now what we can do as we drill into these things. So these charts are still populating themselves and as the data is coming through. But you can see I've already had 16 server requests. We can see that our server response time is 339.7 milliseconds. Now, one of the things I didn't do to that app, remember, I created that app initially not having checked the box. So I added it late. So one of the things I could do is I could go back into that app now and add that JavaScript snippet that I mentioned before. So If I look down here at the bottom, I come down here to these sections where they're talking about usage analytics. And I can go over here and it'll actually tell me the code I need to have. Or not. Fortunately, I have it right here. I just didn't want to wait for it. Let's go back into Visual Studio now. Stop my app. Now let's see. There's a number of places I can put code that will run in all instances and all occurrences of my app, but probably one of the easier ones is to go into the shared section here, into my layout file, which is where I have basically the head of almost all of the pages in my system. And I'll go ahead and paste in this JavaScript snippet here. And like I said, this snippet, you can just basically copy-paste it directly from the Application Insights portal. It'll give you the snippet. It's already been embedded with your key, your instrumentation key for that app. The data is all that you need to do it. It's basically a delayed load JavaScript, and it pulls the actual bundle of the JavaScript off of the CDN in kind of a deferred manner. So we're going to do that. We'll build again, run again. Click around a little bit. Want to actually have some usage data. Now, I didn't put any specific code in my app for usage. Like, I didn't specifically emit any traces. But that is one thing that you'll find yourself really wanting to do. It's very important, in fact, that you think through the organizational hierarchy of how what it means for a user to engage with your app. Right, there's a lot that we can collect automatically. We can collect page views. We can collect clicks on event, on buttons and controls and things like that. But more important often to you is to say they entered into a purchase. They started the shopping cart checkout. And you could perhaps do that with a button, except that you might have four different inputs all into that same place. And so you can, in either in the server-side code or the client-side code or both, you can actually emit named events with telemetry data attached and send that stuff back to the server, and it'll get processed in exactly the same way as the automatically emitted telemetry. So the SDKs enable you to do that. All right, so you can see a lot more telemetry getting emitted here. Let's come back over now to the portal. Oops. Don't make me log in. Not this again. That's better. So you can see more and more of the data starting to come in. I've now got my server request timelines happening down here. And you see I'm starting to get usage data now. My usage telemetry is now starting to come in. So both the server-side SDK, that's the one that we automatically added into the Visual Studio code, but also now the JavaScript one are all starting to emit telemetry. And that telemetry is getting processed through a backend and getting presented up in that portal in near real time. Okay. So now let me come around and look. That was me finishing the previous demo after our small blockage, but we're just going to pretend that didn't happen. Come back over to Visual Studio and stop this. That one's still stuck. Okay, come back to here. So if you've been coming to TechEd before, I'm sure you've seen this app, right? This is one of our classic demo apps we love to play with. Now, this FiberCam Fiber web app also has mobile components, and we're not going to get into those quite yet. But this app has been deployed up to a VM that I have in the cloud. And I have this set up with the global availability monitoring configured. And so let's go take a look at what I can actually see about this one. So we'll come back up here to the top and switch to the other directory. And let's go take a look at this. So here's the same Application Insights resource that we had up before connected to this FiberCam Fiber application. And in addition to all this data here, if I go down here to the bottom, you can see there is this alert rules. And the alert rules are showing this yellow, orange unhappiness. I wonder what that is. Well, right before I came on stage, I popped open my email because I received this. And you can see the time on it, 8:07, so this is right before I came on stage this morning. Because it's telling me it crossed the threshold, configured threshold of failed locations. What this means is that basically enough of those global web tests are failing that it wants me to know. And I also could have configured it to do differently, but the email is the one I've got it set up right now. And it says, you know, I can see what's going on here by going to the Azure Management Portal. It's told me the name of the test. It tells me that the threshold is currently 1. So I currently have it set to any point of presence failure at all is enough to trigger it. It might not be the best choice, because sometimes the routers can go funky in weird places in the world, and we do have these centers all over the place. It's telling me exactly what time it was activated and the subscription name. So we can now go back over to the portal and take a look at how this came about. So here I have an alert rule configured. Let me turn my zoom back up again. Can you guys in the back see this okay? Somebody wave if it's okay. Yay. All right, so here I have a rule set up, and the condition is that if failed locations is greater than or equal to 1, and you can see an hour ago it was active. And if we click through, we can see this is the actual ping test itself. It's set up as a ping test. If we take a look, we can see the rule, how this test was configured. So it is a URL ping test. Here's the URL it's hitting. I've chosen a set of locations from which it will ping. We can take a look at those. All right, so it's pinging from Amsterdam, California, and Hong Kong. It's expecting a status code of 200. And I have the alerts enabled, and I have the sensitivity set to high. And you can see here, high means if any single one fails. We actually typically run these at medium, especially if you're running them with 5 or 6 or 7 different points of presence, pinging them at once. Running them at medium says if half of them over a 10-minute period give it an issue, raise the alert. Now, you can run it at high. That's not a problem. But sometimes you'll find yourself responding to alerts where it's just that a router went down for half a second and it happened to be when the ping went. And by the time you go to investigate it, there's not much there to see because it's resolved itself already. Because these things can sometimes go up and down pretty quickly. But configuring these alerts is very simple. We would come in here and say alerts on these email addresses, go. And you also can just check the box that says send it automatically to all the people who are registered as admins or co-admins of this Application Insights product because we're connected into the Azure Active Directory resource management system, so you can plug people in through that mechanism as well. Now, you can see that it's failing, and it's failing pretty consistently. There aren't even any green dots happening through here, right? None at all. It's just nothing but unhappy. So let's jump over to the actual virtual machine where this stuff lives and take a look at what's going on. So first thing I want to show you is this application. So this is the Application Insights Status Monitor. This is the agent app that I mentioned earlier that will actively watch my application and send me back stuff about it. I wanted to show you this so that you could see kind of what it looked like. It's a simple download, simple install, and as you can see, it has already scanned and enumerated all of the web apps in IIS here, and it's telling me that 2 of them are configured and 1 of them is not. And for this one that's not, you'll notice that if I want to enable Application Insights for this app without any redeployment, without going into Visual Studio messing with the code, all I have to do is click this button. I'm not going to do it. But I've already logged in to the application through my Azure credentials. I can say, just like we did in the Visual Studio experience, where I want it to be sent. Again, here is create a new application resource. And I can say add, and it will instrument that app. It'll put the agent. It'll start tracking and monitoring that app, and we'll have that information coming into the portal. Now, for these other apps, and this is the one that we're actually looking at right now. So you can see this one actually has a different set of instructions down here. This one says that it has been enabled in the code. So this is telling us that the status monitor didn't hook himself up to this one. It came ready to go. So that means the application has a configuration file. It has those SDKs on board. It's already hooked up and configured. And so basically, he's saying, if you want to make changes to how this one does its telemetry collection, you should go back into Visual Studio again. Because we don't want these two things fighting with each other. Because then you can have this problem of the code that's deployed is out of sync from the code you have in your version control system. And we don't want to get into that situation. So, but it makes it very clear that that's what's going on. Now, we were getting all those failures. I suspect my good friend Rahul, who is in Redmond right now and was giving a demo of this about 6 hours ago. Looks like he left IIS stopped. That would explain why we weren't getting any answers from the ping tests. So we'll turn that back on. Give that just a little bit of time here. What? All services started. It's now running. Excellent. We'll just leave that run for a second and look at a few other things here. So we were able to identify that it was down, and we very quickly figured out why. But let's look at something more interesting, something more kind of developer-oriented than just some other guy turned the server off. So Application Insights is wrapped around this idea of kind of two main classes of data. We have metrics data, which is numeric, quantitative data that we can perform statistical analysis over. And we have kind of textual data, or all of the other data, right? Various textual data. And when you dig through the experiences of Application Insights, you're going to typically find that they bottom out at one of two terminal experiences. One we call the Metrics Explorer, which is about browsing through the numeric data, and the other one we call the Search Explorer, which is about browsing through the non-numeric data. So let's take a look at some of these. So these charts with the lines on them, when I click on them, they're almost always going to take me into something, and I can see what's going on. So here I clicked into the Metrics Explorer, and so this was for the one that was showing me request and response time. And when I clicked in, the chart here that I'm seeing on the top right is exactly the same as the chart that I saw over here. Helps give me that mental map of this is the same stuff. But now he's added more. It's brought in some additional data that I might find useful. So we're getting the page views data here. And additionally, we've now added down below some of the more drill-in details about this. So average browser page load time by URL base. So we can see which ones are the fastest, which are the slowest, and they're currently sorted by slowest. So this one, the index page, is the slowest one, with 2,400 milliseconds with a 1,200 standard deviation. So mediocre. Now if I click through into that, so now I've chosen the URL base. We've kind of left the world of statistical and quantitative data and moved into the world of searching for textual things, because a URL is just text. And so what we're going to now do is we're going to search across all of the data that we've collected for that URL string. And it's going to pull basically, there's a query syntax here. Are you guys familiar with Elasticsearch? Right, it's a common open source search engine for sitting across large reams of data. So we're using Elasticsearch under the covers, so therefore the syntax that we're using is that same syntax for search. And once this thing figures itself out, it will show me the data. Let's come back over here real quick. Yeah, it's one of those days. Would you believe me if I said it worked great in the speaker room? Probably not. Okay. So I'm going to let that one run here for a second and just kind of point out some of the other bits of data that we can drill into here. So again, looking down here at the usage data, I was drilling into the session counts. And so as I drill in here, I can start to see this. It's giving me the additional supporting data, basically the various cross-referencing data that kind of go along with it. So here we can see, in addition to the data up above, here's my browser information. So I had 7,300 instances of IE9, 415 of IE10, 37 of IE11, 15 of Chrome. As we look at my operating systems, I'm getting that data. It's mostly Windows 7. And here's my various screen resolutions. And all of this data is being sent by the JavaScript SDK snippet that I included in that page, because all that stuff is available inside of the browser's DOM, and we package it all up and send it through. And I have no idea why search is misbehaving right now, so I'll just leave it over there. Yes, please.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. So the question for those of you in the back is, how much of what I'm showing can we do if your server is behind the firewall? Okay, so I'll have to answer that in kind of two parts. Clearly, the outside-in ping tests will not be able to work because they won't be able to reach you. Now, the second part is really kind of an, I have to ask you a question, is the nature of that site being behind your firewall mean you can't send that telemetry out to our service in the cloud, or you can? You can? Okay, well, then you'll be able to get everything except for the outside-in service monitoring data. You kind of see how that works, right? So if you can send us the data, then we can show it to you, and the only one that then would be blocked by your firewall would be that. Now, we have had a lot of requests from customers to allow for that same outside-in monitoring ping test thing for running inside of enterprises. We've had customers ask for that. We haven't quite gotten to producing that yet. So anyway, the drilling through here, right, says, let me look at something a little bit more interesting to get back to the problem-solving thing. If we look at failed requests here, I'm going to go and observe that we've got what pages are failing, what type of exceptions we're getting. And now you can observe here at the top in the bar, it has written the Elasticsearch query for me. Request.name is get reports employees. And it's now graphed that across time, telling me how many requests came in. Now, if we look at the request itself, I can click on that and get the details on the request. So here's the full set of the request data available to me. Now, this is not really a diagnostics one. Let's go to one where I actually have a failure. So here we have exceptions now coming through. So here we can see base exception.typename is system web HTTP exception. They all occurred back here. And if we go and look at one of those, we can drill through and have now all of that exception data so that we can see what's going on. We've got our stack trace, we have the exception message, we have when it's available, lines of code information. We should still, though, we'll still have the parsed stack frame and the type information that's going to allow us to get in there and figure out exactly what's happening and go straight to the code. So we can jump into Visual Studio Online, jump into the Monaco editor in Visual Studio Online, and actually start looking directly at the code. Now, we don't have that integration done yet, but it is absolutely something we're aiming for. We'll be able to go back and forth between these experiences. We're just not quite there yet. All right, I'm going to jump back over to slides here real quick because I want to make sure that if any of you guys have questions for me, we get give you at least a few minutes for that. Since some of those were not working. So I want to talk just a little bit about kind of some real-world examples of people we know about that are using data or using application insights for all of these things I've been talking about making sure their app is available and performing and succeeding. And let me just start with us. Application Insights is itself a very complex service. Visual Studio Online is a very complex service. And we use Application Insights on ourselves. We self dog food, right? So we are constantly evaluating and resolving our live site incidents, our failures, our exceptions. We're monitoring our usage. We've got funnel tracking data. We know where customers are coming in, where they're dropping off. We know what they're getting. We've instrumented the entirety of the pipeline. We have usage data coming from the full stack. And this allows us to make the kinds of decisions we need to make to understand how to keep our site up, stable, and reliable, even though we're deploying every single week. It also helps us tune the investments we're making, tune the backlogs we're doing based on watching how users are coming in to the funnels. Where are they? Where are we losing them? We're getting so many people who are saying file new web project, but then only so many of those are actually ending up with an Application Insights node. Why is that? Oh, it's because they have to log in and they weren't logged in, or because the box was unchecked. Okay, fine, let's check the box. These are the kinds of decisions that you can make when you have this kind of data. And so we're running this one constantly, and every single day there is a live site incident triage meeting where they go through and review all of this data in order to make decisions about how to make sure to keep our site up and running and stable and happy. Now, another one I wanted to tell you about is Microsoft Game Studios. And if you go back and look at the videos from TechEd North America earlier this year, you'll see they actually did a presentation about how they're using Application Insights to track their stuff. So you can go and watch them tell it in their own words. But they're using it for availability and perf and usage, right? They're using it for all of those things in order to make sure that the services and the apps that they're creating are providing what they need. And in fact, I'll tell you that if you are a Windows Phone user or an iOS or an Android user and you have Microsoft apps on here, you probably have Application Insights collecting data from those too. I just don't necessarily have the clearance to tell you which ones are and which ones aren't. But I'll tell you that a great number of them are. Now, I wanted to go a little bit here. The next one I'm going to tell you about isn't somebody using Application Insights, but it kind of helps make the point, make the point about the importance of telemetry. I'm sure everybody's heard of Plants vs. Zombies, right? One of the most popular games ever. And you can actually go and read about this on the PopCap blog. But when they were getting ready to release PVZ2, they decided they were only going to release it in Australia and New Zealand. And they did a very soft launch into only those markets because they had a whole bunch of new back-end server capabilities, new server processing, and they needed to get telemetry on how the users of the game were going to be impacting that back-end and what usage patterns they were going to do and how they were going to have to make investments for scaling and the kinds of whether they were going to get the adoption numbers they wanted of some of their kind of click-to-pay options and in-app purchases. And they wanted to learn all of that on a smaller market, a controlled market, a market that was similar to the Europe and U.S. markets where they knew the majority of their sales were going to come in later. And so they did this very soft release into Australia and New Zealand. And what I've always found really fascinating about this story is that they made a very intentional and conscious decision about how to release the product, where to release the product, on what timeline to release the product, in order to maximize their telemetry, in order to maximize their ability to understand how customers are using the app. So they deferred releasing it to the larger market in order to get that richer understanding. To me, that's always been a fascinating story about the importance of telemetry in this modern day and age. And admittedly, it's a mobile app, and so things are a little bit different there for them. Now, I have a couple of other things I just want to hit on real quick, and then there is a microphone here if anybody has questions. And real quick, you App Insights people, raise your hand. Or actually, no, stand up. All of you, up. So because I'm going to run us basically right up to end time, and I'm sure there will be people who have questions, all five of us are going to be hanging out either in the room or out in the hallway until they kick us out. So if you do have questions, please come find us, and we'll be happy to answer them, because I think I'm probably going to run right up to the end here. I just want to hit that before anybody starts leaving. One of the questions we tend to get a fair amount of is around data privacy and security. And I'll just tell you this, your data is for your eyes only. We do not make your data available to advertisers, partners, or third parties, and we don't look at your data. And you also can be confident that all of this is running in Azure Secure Data Centers. And if you're looking for information about that, please go and click this link here, azure.microsoft.com/support-trust-center. All right? So again, Application Insights, we think of it as this 360-degree view, helping you make sure that your app is available and performing and succeeding, bringing all of that data together, making it an inherent part of your development process. We are still in preview. We are still actively developing this product. And as you saw, there's issues here and there, but we're working on them as fast as we can. We would love to get your feedback. We would love to have you guys using Application Insights, trying it out, kicking the tires, trying it out on your apps. Right, letting us know, getting involved with us from a community perspective. We're going to be putting together a mailing list to allow you to sign up for and get involved with us and join basically kind of an early adopters community so you can get direct interaction with the product team people if you want. And if you watch the ALM blog, you should see a post about that soon. We'd love to hear from you guys. We'd love to any questions, concerns, comments you have, anything like that. Again, the five of us will be hanging out here near the end. And 6-5-4-3-2, I'm out of time. Thank you very much. Have a great rest of your day.